It's Tuesday, the 17th of March, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast. Here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me is Puce.
Hello.
Light on the ground today, but we've got plenty to discuss, so we'll jump straight into... No, we do have some things to talk about. So what have you been playing this week, Puce?
I've been predominantly playing, well, the last few days especially, I've mostly been playing Doom Eternal, which I'm reviewing for the site. And it's pretty good. It's basically what you would expect from a sequel to the previous Doom. It's got really frenetic arena-based combat. They've perhaps gone a bit overboard on the combat this time. You've got a lot of options at any moment, which can be a bit paralyzing because you've got to try and keep in your head what's not on cooldown, what you've got available. You've got grenades, you've got a flamethrower now on your shoulder cannon, you've got ice grenades, you've got an enhanced punch, as well as all the weapons with their alternate fires. So it can feel like there's a lot going on, and when you're trying to dodge around 20, 30 enemies all at once, it can be a bit overwhelming, but the combat still is satisfying as ever. It's still really, really good.
What are the levels like?
I don't feel like they're as well laid out as in the previous game. In the previous game, it was very, here's a corridor, here's an arena where you do some combat, here's a slight exploratory bit through some corridors and stuff. This time, it's a lot more exploratory, but it doesn't really guide you to the next area very well. It still signposts where you're supposed to go with kind of, basically, if you're stuck, look for a green light or a green thing on the wall somewhere that kind of points you towards where you're supposed to be going. But it can feel a bit labyrinthine at times, which kind of saps the excitement from going from encounter to encounter a bit. But... there's a lot more in the way of secrets and collectibles to find. So going out of your way and being lost isn't necessarily a bad thing, because you can stumble across other bits and pieces. Like the collectibles now, there's more, instead of just the Doom Guy toy collectibles like in the other game, this time round there's toy collectibles for all the monsters, as well as cheat codes and album art, which is basically soundtrack tracks from previous Doom games and Quake games. So there's quite a lot of things to collect.
Okay, because it's set on Earth, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's predominantly set on Earth. There are other locations, but the main difference is the Earth areas. And I think that's probably some of the things why the levels don't quite feel right, in that because it's kind of a more normalish setting, although it's still kind of ramped up. It's not like a typical Earth level in a game. It's... you can tell it's supposed to be Earth because there's shops and things, but it's still got that sort of high-tech and polished look like the future of the Doom games have. So it's definitely different, and you can definitely tell when you're in the different places. You do revisit Mars and some other locations, and they all look distinct from each other, and they all behave... They've all got like different, not gimmicks as such, but they've kind of got unique environmental stuff going on in each of them as well.
Okay. Anything else?
I've still been touch and going with Animal Crossing, although my GameCube village will be mad at me because I've not been in for 2 days now. I need to do that after we've finished the podcast. otherwise, they'll divorce me. And I've been playing quite a bit of... the Battle Royale for Modern Warfare, the Warzone, that was released this week. And I'm playing it a lot more than I thought I would. It's quite addictive. It definitely does some things differently to most Battle Royale games. It makes it quite fast and interesting.
Okay. Myself, I won't say I've been playing as Elaine, but I was in a bad mood the other day, and if you set certain timers in motion, then all at once
it'll notify you about everything, and it'll go off 6 or 7 times in a row. And since I wasn't in a good mood as it was, I uninstalled the game to teach the game a lesson. So I've stopped playing Azalea.
That's fair, to be honest.
Azalea and Crosswave, however, I'm still making very slow progress through. Not helped with the kids being off school now, because one of them developed a bit of a cough, so now everyone has to self-isolate. Everyone in the family has to self-isolate because someone in the house has a bit of a cough. So it's going to be a fun 2 weeks. Maybe I'll get more games to talk about next week, but I've played a bit of Dauntless. Didn't play much of it this past week. They did have an event going where you could get a banana flare and a different banana flare. I don't know why it was 2 banana flares.
Yeah, I was going to ask what was the significance of the bananas. It just seemed really random to me.
I think that's it. It was just a random thing. That there's not exactly an international banana day. Though saying that, there probably is. There's an international everything day. We played a bit of Deep Rock Galactic as one of the Game Green theme nights. Every weekend, well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we do theme nights on the Game Green Discord server. It's usually different games, but can just devolve into Counter-Strike Global Offensive or Team Fortress 2, depending on what most people are in the mood for. But yeah, it was Deep Rock Galactic this past week. Oh, actually, Dauntless was part of a team building. It wasn't a theme night, it was a game night that we decided to do, because we've got some new writers who started recently. So yeah, that was pretty fun. That was before the banana flare became available. The three who joined, other than me, three of the people who joined were low level, and there was me as a high level and Crafty as a high level. So there was one of us in each of their teams.
You got to carry some newbies through some fights.
To carry some newbies, yeah. I dipped into Destiny 2. It's been a while since I went into that. I thought I'll check out what this latest update's about. And then I had a look at the available quests, and I couldn't quite work out which one was I was supposed to do next, so I just kind of stopped playing. I didn't really play it. I just logged in, watched the new cutscene, went from the tower to Mars and spoke to a couple of people, and that was about it.
Yeah, I have to say, it doesn't necessarily communicate quests very well. It shows them on the thing, and you just kind of have to guess.
Also been doing Noita every day. That's the every pixel is simulated. That's been getting better and better with each update, I've got to admit. They're adding in new spells and new liquids. There's a Fluxomium, which if you spill it on yourself, like you throw it at the wall and it douses you, or you just drizzle it on the floor and step in it, it reverses your controls.
Oh, that's fun.
It doesn't really affect the monsters, but yeah, it might do as they update the game. There's another one that's buffs your strength, your health, so you take less damage, and another that recharges your mana. There's quite a lot in there now. There's even a monster that throws random potions or bottles, I should say, which may include a bottle of lava, which may hit near you and then douse it and kill it.
A really need to check. Go back into that. There's been a few updates since I last played it. I think this do seem to update pretty regularly.
Yeah, it's not always big updates, but they are keeping it updated regularly. Star Trek Online doing the daily login and do the task force thing, because I want that whatever the heck it's actually going to wind up being. last week I mentioned that it's supposed to be a pet, but the newsletter said it's a ship. Rainbow Six 3 Iron Wrath, I'm halfway through that, and the first two missions I did, I did the planning myself. For the rest of Rainbow Six 3, I've been doing the Ubisoft made ones. They weren't great, but they pretty much worked for the most part. But I did find a place to, on ModDB, you can download the Ubisoft made plans for Iron Wrath. So I grabbed those. I've done a mission with one of those, and Green Squad got stuck on, I think it was an overturned canoe or something. So I did all of the mission, and then I was heading back to the extraction point and passed them. So and realized, wait, they've been regrouping for about 5 minutes now. So I walked into two of them, which made them rejoin the leader. And then I went and completed the mission all by myself.
To be fair, I often get snagged on the overturned canoes when I'm walking around. So.
And finally, The Simpsons Tapped Out. Still playing that. I have not yet redesigned my entire town, as I plan to do after the event. Hopefully there's not going to be a surprise St. Patrick's Day event or something, because, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, or it was. I don't know. I'm not a big drinker, so I don't pay that much attention. Also, I'm not Irish. But yes, I'm definitely going to do it before the next podcast. Definitely. 100%. 70%. I might do it. Anyway, let's talk about some news. We'll start off with everything is being cancelled. It shouldn't be that much of a surprise, because coronavirus is nasty and easily spreadable. But E3 has been cancelled. Part the PlayerUnknown Battleground Mobile Pro League has been cancelled. The Smite Pro League has been delayed. Insomnia Gaming Fest has been cancelled. That was cancelled, wasn't it? Yes. The Dota 2 tournament, fourth minor and major tournaments of the DPC season have also been cancelled. Not to be outdone, EA has suspended all competitive gaming live events. Just a blanket statement.
The Apex Legends stuff and the FIFA and Madden series as well, isn't it?
That's right. I'll admit I wouldn't have attended E3 or watched any of the or attended Insomnia or watched any of the leagues that have been cancelled, but they are pretty big things, and this is quite a blow.
Yeah, it definitely sucks for anyone that was planning to physically go to any of these things. It's surprising that, especially for like the FIFA events and things, that I don't know whether they could realistically do them as online events and do some sort of online version of what they would have done, but. It's probably just easiest just to cancel it outright as is and perhaps reschedule or just call it a bad job and just move on, I think.
To be fair, most of these are online games, so they could just do them from their homes, except that would put them at risk of heavy cheating.
Yeah, and I suppose you're also at the whims of internet as well. It's not a level playing field for everyone, like if it was a LAN setup. But it does seem weird when these are online games and you're not, abandoned. Yeah.
Gamescom have come out and said that they are monitoring the situation, but since this might have all cleared up by August, which is when Gamescom runs. They are still going ahead as of like now, but if the situation worsens or continues to be this bad, I'm sure they'll reconsider. It's all a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, you'd like to think that all this will have blown over by August, but at this rate, you never know, do you? It's we might still be like this next year, and then we'll be very sad.
Well, speaking of disasters, Disaster Report 4, Summer Memories, a game that's coming to Switch, PlayStation 4, and PC later this year, has revealed a gameplay trailer. This is, I believe, the first Disaster Report game to be translated, at least officially, and released in the West.
I believe that's the case. I want to say there was one on the Wii, but I'm not sure whether it was localized now, thinking about it. But yeah, it very probably is the first one.
It sees players having arrived in town just before a major earthquake hits and completely wrecks the place. So you've got to make decisions to help people, not help people, or help certain people. The trailer uses the example of very obvious Yakuzas talking to you and saying, where did this person go? And you can say, oh, well, they went that way. Or you can lie and say they went that way or that way or that way. And presumably it all branches out from the two different results from depending on the direction you send them. The funniest part to me was towards the end of the trailer, where it's been all serious and dour and people's lives are at stake, and then it goes through some of the 20 DLC costumes that are going to be available for it, including Santa.
That's exactly what you need in a crisis situation. Some Joker in a Santa outfit pointing you in the wrong direction.
I'm trying to think of some of the other costumes. Oh yes, there's like a spaceman ninja outfit.
Yeah, there's like an almost M. Bison-esque sort of outfit as well.
That's right. They make a big deal of that one. And a maid outfit. it's quite a shift from one tone to another. But yeah, even before that, I was definitely keeping an eye on it. It's a series that I've read about in the past, but obviously never been able to play. So I'm definitely wanting to check it out. Like a survival game without the survival. Survival game with a story.
Yeah, it's definitely a series that's like you, it's been on my radar. I've heard about it and seen it mentioned in places, but I don't really know that much about. So it's definitely interesting that this one's coming west properly. And
it does make me wonder. It does make me wonder if all of these games take place in the same universe.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, especially if you play the same character. It's like really unfortunate person.
Every city you move to has a massive earthquake and you have to help people. Well, I suppose you don't have to. That's where the choice system comes in. You could just stab everyone, I suppose. I didn't say that's what I'm going to do.
We all know the reality, hey?
I happily sell slaves in Fallout 3, so yeah, I'm probably going to let everyone die.
Well, what else are you supposed to do with them?
I think you're supposed to save them.
Oh. That's something I do in Elite wrong as well. Slaves, I sell those for profit. That's what we do.
Well, speaking of profit, it was teased last week about Lego Super Mario. And they finally revealed it a couple of days later. It's not a video game. It's not a toy. It's kind of both-ish. There's a trailer you can find on GameGrin.com, and it's a... I was hoping it might be like a franchise Lego game, like Lego Marvel Superheroes. Yeah. But no, it's a toy Mario with a screen on it, and it's got Bluetooth, and you build a level out of Lego and move it along, make it jump on Goombas, make it collect coins.
Yeah, you kind of tap your way across the various elements and the toy reacts to it, but it's very odd. I can't really make up my mind whether it's a good thing or not.
Yeah, I suppose it doesn't look like one of those video games that comes with a toy and you need to like buy more bits of the toy to, like Skylanders and Disney Infinity. It just looks like a Lego set with a giant Mario with a screen on it.
Yeah, that makes noises and has coins appear on his chest and things as you tap your way across the block. I just don't really know who it's for exactly. It's definitely interesting looking though, but I don't know. I might just be too much of an old man. I just don't really get it.
Well, at least it doesn't. It's not like one of the 50 different toys that poop.
There is that.
Watching those adverts in the morning really annoys me. Because, oh, it's a pooping toy. Ooh, it's a pooping toy. Ooh, it's either a pooping toy or a vomiting toy. Oh, it poops. Yeah.
Why would I want something to vomit on me?
No, it could vomit or poop. You don't know until you've bought it.
That's even worse.
Like picking someone up at the bar. Just me. Oh.
Pewschan will remember this choice.
So I take it you're not going to be rushing out to pre-order your Lego Super Mario from whatever shop stocks it.
No, when I saw the trademark and stuff, I thought it was going to be a Lego video game. And I was quite interested, especially if the Nintendo was going to be involved in it, because that could have been something quite interesting. But then that showed up, and I'm not really sure what to make of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be an expensive Lego set with an oversized Mario. But we'll find out later this year. Later this year, we're hoping to find out about something that will be interesting to us. Night Dive Studios have revealed that they're remastering Blade Runner, not the movie. The video game, the point-and-click video game, which was released in 1997 and has been difficult to obtain since.
Yeah, and until recently on PC, where it reappeared on GOG not many months ago, because of the works of the ScumVM team, they actually backported the engine into ScumVM. So because of that, then it could be on sale again on GOG, which is cool, but... this is really interesting that Night Dive are remastering the engine from the ground up. Because the source code was lost during a move from Oracle, and they've never been able to find it since. So it's kind of interesting that they're recreating it from the ground up. And because of that, then it'll be able to make an appearance on consoles and stuff. So that's really cool.
From what I remember, it's a fairly well-regarded game.
Yes, fantastic game, especially because it's kind of interesting as far as adventure games go, because there was a lot of randomness to it. When you start the game, all the NPCs are randomly decided whether they're going to be replicants or not, and therefore you can get all sorts of different combinations of answers and no playthrough is the same, because a character that you would otherwise that you would arrest in one playthrough would be perfectly fine the next one, and so on. And like certain plot specific characters are always the same, but there was a lot of differences in each playthrough because of that. It was really interesting. It was also one of the first games to ever use voxels. All the character models, they're not actually 3D models, they're all voxel based, which allowed them to do some really cool animation at the time, but they've not aged as well. So it's kind of interesting that this remaster has said that they're going to create sharper character models. I presume that means they're going to have higher resolution voxel models rather than, like I say, they're not 3D models. So it's definitely interesting to see the changes that Night Dive make as it evolves.
Something that is not on the show notes, but is also evolving. X4 Foundations is getting a 3.0 update, which is going to introduce a new storyline, including diplomatic missions and three standalone tutorial scenarios, including a flight school, as well as a bunch of improved sound effects, graphics, engine, some quality of life changes to the spacesuit. You'll be able to dock, and your oxygen display will display. They've also revealed their first big expansion, X-Force Split Vendetta.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this the patch that coincides with the new expansion?
Yes, it will greatly increase the size of the universe and introduce two new split family clans, along with their economy, new ships, weapons, and station modules, as well as new missions and adventures.
Yeah, having the split come into the game will be interesting, because they were one of the more interesting factions in the earlier games. It's kind of interesting that they're still touching up the graphics engine and things. It's Ego Software very good at that. It's like a game, one of their games at launch compared to by the time they get round to the next game. Very often they're like almost completely different with the amount of updates. They're definitely very comprehensive when it comes to adding stuff, and they never really rest on the laurels. They often listen to community feedback and stuff. So it's kind of nice to see that they're altering stuff for trade and the UI as well. I'm curious what the new diplomatic missions are in the main game.
Apparently 3.0 is going to include more than 400 individual changes and fixes.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling. I presume it was this update that's been in beta on the test server for a few months now. I think it was before Christmas, so it's been gestating a while. I know Split Vendetta was supposed to come out in November, but they delayed it into the new year. So it's definitely...
Well, it's coming out at the end of this month.
Yeah, it looks like it's definitely had been a worthwhile delay if they've managed to add all these things. I'd sooner have a delayed game that's good than a rushed thing that's buggy and horrible. So,
you're on about X Rebirth.
Well, it's definitely a better game now than at launch. It's still a good game. It's just not a very good X game because it made some major changes that don't really suit that series. But as its own thing, it was fine. And it was definitely finer at the end of its life than at the start.
Egosoft perhaps should help out Frontier.
Yeah.
And since they can do massive changes to their games very quickly, it seems.
Yeah, I just wish Frontier would communicate the plans more. That's my main issue with them and Elite Dead. Although we know they are working hard on the next expansion for Elite, it's kind of frustrating that it's kind of radio silence because it feels like it's stagnant at the moment.
Are they working on the next expansion though? Because they just netted the F1 license to create a management game.
Okay, two people at Frontier are hard at work. And Elite Dangerous, the next expansion, yes. Everybody else is now on the F1 game.
And fixing, updating, adding to Jurassic Park, Jurassic World.
Oh yeah, that's still a thing as well, isn't it? They've got Planet Zoo on the go. Crikey, yeah, they've got like live teams everywhere now.
I wonder when the last Planet Zoo update was. I haven't been keeping abreast of that, I'll be quite honest.
I'd literally forgotten it was a thing until you mentioned Jurassic Park.
I'm looking at Planet Zoo. Because I got the enhanced Steam expansion, so it should say when it was last updated. I've had a really slow connection for the past like week and a half. Super annoying. Whatever reason, it's not showing up. Anyway,
7th December was the Arctic Pack and Update 1.1.
Thank you. So only a few months ago.
Which adds polar bears, so therefore that's the best game of the year.
Which is a lot more recent than Elite Dangerous is. Last big update.
It's just because it's in space. The updates take a long time to get to Earth from where they send them from. That's all it is.
Oh, so it's like a time delay because of the signal has to travel such a long distance.
Or it's been sucked into a black hole, so we'll never receive it. One or the other.
Last thing probably worth talking about. There's been a few review embargoes have dropped this past week. Animal Crossing New Horizons, Persona 5 Royal, and, of course, Doom Eternal. All three of which have gotten very, very good reviews.
I'm really pleased that Animal Crossing has been received well and has got good reviews, because I'm really looking forward to that. That's the game we need right now in this situation.
I'm curious now what are previous scores of Animal Crossing games. Let's see, what did Happy Home Designer get?
That's probably going to be fairly low. Amiibo Festival will be the worst.
Well, that's Top Critic Average 64 and Amiibo Festival 48. Right, so I can't say that that New Horizons is getting good reviews because it's an Animal Crossing game.
Well, you can say because it's a core Animal Crossing game. Yeah, those other two are kind of spin-offs, so we can let them slide. True. I'm curious that it seems mixed, the response compared to New Leaf. Some people are saying New Leaf is still better, but I'm curious as to why. But I'm trying not to spoil too much. I want to go into it kind of fresh, so I don't want to read too many reviews about it.
It's because they included dragons.
Tom Nook's secret facility onto the island. It's actually a dragon breeding complex.
Well, didn't you wonder where his little nephews come from? They're part dragon.
Timmy and Tommy don't have parents. They're just immaculate births.
No, my go-to spoiler is there's a dragon, which kind of made it hard to jokingly spoil Game of Thrones.
Or Skyrim.
Or Skyrim. Yeah, you'll get up there and a dragon will attack you. Oh, really? Yeah, actually, probably, yeah, it will.
And it'll fly backwards.
Right, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Unless you want to talk about the PlayStation 3 emulator RPCS3, which has had an up to 10 frames per second increase in Red Dead Redemption, Infamous, and Yakuza.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. That's quite a performance leap. I still wouldn't be able to run it on my machine, but that's still pretty pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'll have to check out that video once we've finished recording, find out if it's up 10 from like 30 or if it's up 10 from 1.
4.
One's a massive increase, the other's, it's fine. Right, thank you for joining me, Puce.
No worries.
And thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing, whether it's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGrin.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.